And with just 11 days to go until the end of the year, it's worth taking a few minutes to talk about the year in the news and what a year it was. On Monday, we'll look at the international stories with CNN's Christiane Amanpour. But right now, we're joined for the top domestic stories by Jeff Glore, anchor of the CBS Evening News. Jeff Glore, welcome to Here and Now.
It's so good to be here. Thank you, Jeremy.
And as you look back on the year in the news in the United States, 2018, what do you think about the political side of things this year?
Yeah, it was interesting. We traveled quite a bit all around the country, Arizona, Texas, Florida, Missouri, to some of the battleground states before the midterm elections. And in each one of these tight races that we visited, we saw all the Democrats talking about the Affordable Care Act and the issue of pre-existing conditions specifically. At the time, Republicans were made Kavanaugh the issue. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Affordable Care Act and what happens to it, huge issue before the midterms, as we saw. And I think we're going to continue to see that next year.
One of the defining events of this year was the February 14th shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. 17 people killed in that shooting, 17 more injured. There's been outrage over mass shootings. Of course, that's not the only one. There have been so many others. A youth-led movement for gun control that led to a national school walkout a month later and the International March for Our Lives in March. Do you think 2018 was a pivotal year for America's relationship with guns?
You know, every one of these shootings is awful and different in a different way. But from the beginning in Parkland, when we got down there, I was struck by how media savvy these kids were. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean that they were aware of the power of the impact of their words immediately following this tragedy. And they used that. We sat down with four students who survived just the day after the shooting. Mm. They all came in their Eagles gear. This is Marjory Stoneman Douglas High in Parkland, which is the Eagles. They all had different opinions on what should happen politically following this. And they were all very raw, but they were all so well-spoken. Mm-hmm. And I think it's remarkable to see and tough to see.
I met somebody in the summer who was a teacher from Marjory Stoneman Douglas who actually ran into the school while the shooting was going on, ended up saving dozens of people. A friend told me this about this person, and I sort of had to step back and sit there for 5 minutes, like, what am I going to say to this teacher? I don't know. Do I say good job or what? But you start to think about the amount of people in this country at this point who have been in those situations, because there have been so many. I think 40,000 people died of gun violence in the last year.
I asked my son a couple months ago, I said, do you do lockdown drills? And he said, yeah, of course. And it was matter of fact for him, but sort of jarring for me to hear. And don't forget, following the Parkland shooting in Florida, new laws were passed in one of the most gun-friendly states in the country. You have to be 21 to buy a rifle now. It's a 3-day waiting period on gun sales. Makes more money available on mental health services mm-hmm. in that state. So that was notable.
Another thing that we have to talk about this year is natural disasters, climate change. The U.S. was hit by some major hurricanes. Hurricane Michael ravaged the Florida panhandle in October. It was the most intense hurricane to hit the mainland United States in decades. Hurricane Florence battered the Carolinas for days. All these disasters happening with the U.S. deeply divided over the threat of climate change.
Here's what was fascinating about these storms. I was in the middle of both Florence and Michael. Florence, we knew about days in advance that it was coming, and it only hit as a Category 1. I say only because it doesn't sound like it was that bad, but it just sat there for so long and mm-hmm. dropped so much water, and it was so devastating for so many folks. But we got so much notice on that. Michael was the one that just picked up speed so quickly toward the end there and almost became a Category 5. Third largest hurricane to ever make landfall in the United States. And so, yeah, we are seeing these hurricanes and other climatological events that are becoming more extreme. Why is that happening? We're looking into that more as we approach this new year, but it's something that we certainly saw in 2018.
Well, you were also in California after the deadly wildfires there while they were going on. 88 deaths in the state's deadliest and most destructive wildfire ever. Do you think that the debate over climate change has shifted in this last year that people see the impacts?
I was in California three times this year for wildfires. Mm. That's the most ever. The campfire you're talking about specifically, the deadliest and most destructive in California history. There's still people missing. We heard person after person describe that as hell on earth, how quickly that moved. They call it, you know, the extreme fire behavior. And these fires that when they're whipped by these winds can just jump so dramatically and move so quickly that sometimes even if people receive warnings, they can't get out.
You mentioned Brett Kavanaugh, and I want to talk about that because I went down to Washington to anchor our coverage on NPR of the Blasey Ford Kavanaugh hearings for 9 hours straight. A number of NPR stations had to bring in extra servers to handle the demand for live streaming. People were paying very close attention as the Me Too movement kind of culminated in that day. Eventually, Kavanaugh was confirmed. What do you think that whole thing did to this country?
There were a couple days this year where I think a lot of us felt we were witnessing history, and the Kavanaugh hearings were one of them. I felt that way during George H.W. Bush's funeral, felt that way during the Singapore summit, I think, too. But the Kavanaugh hearing, it was so raw and it was so riveting and in many ways so uncomfortable to watch for so many people. Yet I think a lot of people just couldn't pull their eyes away from it. And that is Christine Blasey Ford talking in the morning and how powerful her testimony was. Mm-hmm. And then Brett Kavanaugh coming in. It was a defining day for this country.
It could have gone either way, really. I don't think anybody knew it at that point.
I think so. I saw someone say, one of our colleagues in the middle of the coverage after watching the Ford testimony say, after she was finished and said, there's no way he's getting confirmed. Mm-hmm. And then after they watched Kavanaugh, they said, there's no way he's not getting confirmed. It was sort of that powerful, I think, on both sides. And I think there were a whole lot of ways to look at it, but it certainly became an enormous political conversation topic in the elections immediately following.
You mentioned George H.W. Bush. We also lost John McCain this year. It seems like two people who represented a politics that doesn't really exist anymore in Washington.
Yeah, there's not a lot of talk the way we see it from what we saw it from John McCain and certainly George H.W. Bush. That's something that I think a lot of people are reflecting on right now, and the tone of the conversation, and have been for a couple of years now. That said, even though the rhetoric is heated and we see these highly unusual Oval Office conversations, for example, between the president and Chuck Schumer and Nancy right. Pelosi. Things do actually sometimes get done. The Senate passed a farm bill, 8317. Criminal justice reform is moving forward. It looks like this partial shutdown is not happening. So I think there's also a couple ways to look at that.
What is a conversation that you've had in the last year? And you've mentioned you've been in California and in Florida and in all these places where the big news is happening. What is a conversation that you've had in the last year that really just stands out to you that you'll always remember?
Well, I think a lot of people are, you know, we talk about the stories that we're continuing to follow as we, you know, we put a bow tie in 2018, but we know a lot of these stories continue on into 2019. And I, you know, I do think the Robert Mueller's investigation is certainly going to be a continuing topic, especially with the postponing of Michael Flynn's sentencing into at least March, which indicates that that's nowhere near over. In 2018, five of the president's close associates pleaded guilty in deals with a special counsel. Remember, Jeff Sessions, of course, forced to resign in November, in large part because of how the president felt about how he handled all that and his recusal. So I think if you're picking something that people end up wanting to talk about or want to know what you know about at a cocktail party or mm-hmm. or wherever else, or uncomfortably at the family dinner table, it might be that.
Do you talk about the news at the family dinner table?
I don't.
After all this? No, you don't.
No, it's kind of cool. My kids they really don't know what I do. or if they do see it, they think it's like a second Jeff Glore or something, they'll say, or a second daddy, which is kind of funny. Mm-hmm. But I try to, when I'm home, I try to be dad entirely. And I think it works.
I take my dog for a walk in the morning every day before work and start with music, because if I start by listening to the news, I'll just get annoyed after 10 minutes and you have to have a little bit of a break.
You're absolutely right. And I'm conscious of it too when we're programming the broadcast for the evening and what we're putting on, because I remember sitting around the dinner table when I was a kid and we'd have the evening news on. And so some of this stuff is tough. And, you know, we certainly have to cover it, and we can't shy away from things. But I do think there are ways that we can cover the news that make it something that people can learn from, too. Mm-hmm.
That is Jeff Glor, anchor of the CBS Evening News. Jeff, thank you so much. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. And really appreciate you joining us.
Same to you, Jeremy. It's so good to be with you.